Lead, guide, direct all of it and bring honor and glory to you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z, we're still in the word angels. Last week we focused mostly on Genesis and the event of the angels being the messengers to Abraham and to Lot. And now let's look at another guide, the angels as expressing, or I should say the angels are displaying as a guide to the children of Israel, a promise to be their guide. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20, you can see here where it says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee." The I here is the Lord, of course. This is a message being given to Moses in behalf of the children of Israel when they're doing their exodus from Egypt on their journey to the promised land. "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." So he is going to be their guide for them. Note, very interesting, these next verses here. "Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." A promise of blessings coming to them if they obey the Lord, they stay on the straight and narrow, they are willing to submit to the will of the Lord, and a guide to show them the pathway to be on. We spoke about this recently, how awesome it is to be able to have a guide. Actually, it was in Vacation Bible School. I was teaching the youngsters about having a guide and have someone that you could turn to, a judge to answer your questions, someone to with the ultimate wisdom and understanding and love for you, concern for you. That it was awesome to have that. We were speaking, of course, of the judges of the Old Testament time that were leading the children of Israel through by the will of God. Yet now, today, we have such a blessing to have the Holy Ghost within us, doing all those things for us if we just listen to him, if we just yield to him, if we take the free gift of wisdom, understanding, and peace, healings, comfort. So much is right there if we'll just take it. And it all comes in a similar way. It's being described here, this guide, along with a warning as well. Don't provoke him. We shouldn't grieve the Holy Ghost. If we grieve the Holy Ghost, then we're not going to be hearing from him anymore. He'll just close up. And then we'll be out there on our own, stumbling, winding up in the ditch. Ask forgiveness, come back, rekindle that relationship, and he'll have that communion with the Holy Ghost, that communication once again. They had the benefit back then of this angel that was being used to guide them. We today, under grace, under the New Testament, have the Holy Ghost within us, guiding us. We still see the influence of angels in modern times and will in the future. But let's continue in this study here about angels and see how there's another warning or another way that you must heed the angels, because God's judgment can be put upon people by way of the angels. Just like the warning here, beware of him and obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. The judgment of God, the will of God there. A man was messing up. He was fixing to do something against the children of Israel, as we read about over in Numbers chapter 22, if you will turn over there. Very interesting account here about a man that was on his way to curse the children of Israel. He had gotten on a donkey and he was headed down the pathway to go curse, because a man named Balak had hired him basically to go curse the children of Israel. And in Numbers chapter 22, we see the account here. Pick it up in verse 23. And on his journey, he was on this donkey. It reads, and the donkey, well, let's back it on up to 22. They got 23 in the reference book here, but let's go with Numbers 22, verse 22. We'll pick up the account here. And reads, and God's anger was kindled against, got kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, as it says here in the King James, but we'll say donkey for the rest of it here. It reads, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. Note how the angel appeared to the donkey. None of the men that was with him, or himself, Balaam, saw the angel, but the animal saw the angel. So it's curious to know, do angels always have that ability to see into the celestial realm? Has that not been taken away from them as a result of the curse, wherein it was taken away from Adam way back there in the garden, and all of us, the descendants of Adam, given back to individuals occasionally through history to be able to see into the realm? But are the animals of today able to look and see angels all around us? It's curious. If you have a pet, it's curious sometimes the way they will behave and the way they will react. And sometimes they'll just sit there and they'll stare up, and it's just like they're listening to somebody or watching somebody, and there's nothing there. I think, is there a bug flying around? Is there something in here? Is there a spider on the wall? And nothing. But yet they're just as focused and concentrated as could be at something in the room. It'd be really curious, that I would love to know, and someday we will, if animals of today have this ability to always be able to see into the celestial world, into that realm. This animal was given that ability, whether it was temporary or whether it was always that way. We're not instructed of that. But let's get back into it here. Started again in verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the donkey to turn her into the way. And the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a way being on this side and a wall on the other side, on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the donkey with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the donkey, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. It's like, he wasn't even surprised that the donkey was talking to him. It's like, he just started the conversation. It's like, oh, well, and then he answered the donkey. It's like, oh, you know, what's going on? My donkey's talking to me. It's like, it must happen all the time to him. And the donkey said unto Balaam, am not I thine donkey upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, allowed Balaam to see into that other realm of the celestial beings right there all around us and see that angel. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine donkey these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee because the way is perverse before me. Thy way is perverse before me. Knowing that Balaam was going to go and curse these children of Israel, the angel was sent to protect the children of Israel and was going to take out Balaam. And the donkey saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And of course, he did not go curse children of Israel. He went and blessed the children of Israel and got a pardon for his sinful desire to go make a profit by cursing the children of Israel. A close call there by an angel sent to perform God's judgment or render God's judgment, his sentence of death was going to be upon Balaam for disobeying and going against God and going against the children of Israel. Over in Psalms 34, we can read a psalm here about how the angels can encamp around us to protect us. This is a psalm of David. We'll just read the one verse here. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Fear the Lord. Those who have the fear of the Lord are encamped around by angels. We have angels protecting us. Like that song that Tyrande Green sings, Sky Full of Angels. Or that, have a sky full of angels looking over me, the line in that, which is based from the scriptures there. That we don't really know how many that we have encamped around us at any time, clearing path for us, guarding our sanctuary that we're in here, guarding our walk, guarding our vehicle when we're going down the road, helping us, guiding us, clearing things out of the way. All by the power of the Holy Ghost, guiding and telling them angels what to do by order of God Almighty, and send them down here to protect us. They're our ministers, our assistants, our helpers, our guides. It's awesome to have such a loving God that has provided so much for us. If we could just see into that other realm, we would possibly be more appreciative of what he does for us each and every day. Another man that was protected, a young man, was protected over in Daniel chapter 6. The account here is about Daniel and the plot of these princes that wanted Daniel to wind up being taken out, being taken away from his position. And the king was tricked into passing a new ordinance about prayer because these fellows knew that Daniel liked to pray every day. And King Darius had actually become friends with Daniel, but when he wrote this new ordinance that his presidents and princes had talked him into writing, he didn't know that they were doing that in order to trip up and to trap Daniel in being accused something that he would be sentenced to death for. So when he was caught, when Daniel was caught praying, he was exposed by these presidents and princes to King Darius, and King Darius had no other choice but to cast his sentence on him of death for violating this new ordinance that had just been passed. So they take him and they cast him into the lion's den. And over in Daniel chapter 6, we'll read two verses here. Daniel down there in that lion's den, King Darius, worried all night long, comes and talks to him. And Daniel responds, he calls down in there to where Daniel is, and Daniel responds with, "Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Because of his trust and faith and belief in God, he sent an angel down, and they closed the mouth of them roaring lions, so that they could not hurt Daniel in that den. Being protected by God's love and his ministers that were given the task of doing the job of protecting him. In Psalm 91, verse 1, it reads, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." A promise of that protection over us that believe and trust in the Lord. And as he says there, because in verse 11, For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Over in Luke, we read the account of the angels being a messenger, coming to give announcement of the gospel, the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. Came first to Zacharias, gave him the announcement that he was going to have a son, him in his old age and his wife in her old age, already past her time to have kids, but was promised a son, John the Baptist. Over in verse 18, Luke chapter 1, verse 18, Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. Now we know Gabriel is one of the archangels that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month which means the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth. So Gabriel first came to Elizabeth, announced to her the birth of John the Baptist. 6 months later, goes to speak to Mary. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Isn't that awesome statement for him to have made to her? To fear not, and that she had found favor in the eyes of God. I mean, that's awesome. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, thy handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her, willing to be whatever the Lord wanted her to be, willing to be used, which is a great testimony of the fact that she found favor in God's eyes, knowing that she would be in full faith and full willingness to serve him in whatever way she was wanted. That awesome message that was brought to her and she goes and spends some time with Elizabeth, and then she comes back and over in Luke chapter 2, we see here, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own house, in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Once again, a great announcement given by the angels to the people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." They were given that awesome opportunity to be able to look into that celestial world and be able to see all those angels around. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Went and did what the angels told them to do, which was awesome, the opportunity to be the first ones to be able to go out and start spreading that wondrous gospel, the arrival of Jesus Christ. And that's all we have time to get into today. We'll continue this study as we see further messengers from God and more about the messengers that will be sent during the tribulation time as well, that we'll read about how the angels will be used at that time as well. But let's go ahead and close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. There's so much in here that we could just spend hour over hour over hour and still only scratch the surface of what you have in here to teach us. Please help us to always stay hungry to dig into your scriptures and find out what you want us to know, so then we can turn around and share that with others. Lead and direct us this week and give us those opportunities and help us have the boldness to step up and proclaim you as our Lord and Savior. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you.